Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler, and well, what was supposed to be a quiet January ended up to be anything but. In the last couple of weeks we've had Brentford replay in the cup, Brighton away and a good result in that game, and finally our beloved rivals on Sunday in the fourth round of the FA Cup, the Bell West Brom. Today I have with me Mick McQuillan, Gary Cotter and Johnny Pearl to discuss the three games and all the activity, particularly around the West Brom game on Sunday. I hope you enjoy it.
Hi, John.
Gary, good evening. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you doing, Tony?
All right. Johnny said he'd be with us for a while, but sure. We've plenty to talk about anyway, so maybe we'll start at the very beginning, as that famous song said in Sound of Music, was it? Yeah?
I haven't a clue.
We say it was. When you sing, you begin with ABC, which is funny enough, because that was a concert I was at in Wolverhampton last Thursday.
All right.
Myself and TC. A bit of a story on it, actually, because I met a guy afterwards in the Lichgate. Myself and TC went in for a pint afterwards, and a woman came over and sat down beside us and started chatting, and her husband came down from the bar. His name was Sean. I think I was telling you, Mick, on Sunday. He's from Wolverhampton, but his family are all Irish and that, you know. So he says, we were chatting away for half an hour. We had to head off then. And I met Simon Parry in the airport after, on the way home on Sunday night. And he was chatting away and he said, I met a mate of mine today, he says, Sean. And he said he met two Irish Wolves lads on last Thursday night in the Lichgate after the gig. I says, oh yeah, that was us. He says, oh yeah. Small world. You have to be careful.
Yeah, do.
You have to be careful. First thing I was going to talk about was just a quick run over the Brentford replay, because it was people scurrying around on the day, and it didn't appear on telly anywhere. So
the best we could do, Tony, was I think we listened to the Wolves commentary, you know, from the Wolves app.
Yeah,
and we listened to that in the room, but I don't know, we were watching West Ham and someone else, Bristol. I think it was Bristol.
Bristol City. Yeah.
Just couldn't tried everything to get it. Couldn't get it.
Yeah, just it's funny, I mean, it was great. It was over 24,000 at it, which I thought was a great crowd, considering Brentford only had half of the quadrant. I said it's probably about 500 there, because even that wasn't full, you know. So it was a great atmosphere. But it's very, I thought, kind of overall, particularly in the first half, it was like they were back from their warm weather training, and it looked like they were kind of, it was like pre-season nearly, you know. Like we were a bit off the game. We weren't that sharp. Our old friend that we got a few bob for during the summer scored their first goal, Mr. Collins, Mick's mate, you know. But we got back into the game, and it was kind of nip and tuck, as they say, all the way through, nearly, like, extra time then, and we got the penalty. I was actually, I don't know whether any of you saw highlights even of it, but initially we thought, I know from the Steve Bull, you're a bit far away, but I thought Neto made the most of it. Most people seem to think it was a penalty anyway to win the game, you know. But
yeah.
We've been talking about Mick couldn't make it over. Obviously, a bad dose as it turned out. But like, we flew into Manchester. I flew into Manchester just as an aside. Getting there, there was we were wondering why the flights were very expensive from Birmingham, and it turned out there was an agricultural equipment fair on in the NEC all week. So they were mad. The flights home were okay. So we saw Manchester was only €15. Quarter past one flight on train, and all, it was in Wolverhampton by 4:30. So if anyone is interested in, we've used that route plenty of times, but if anyone is thinking of, you know, if the flights are expensive into Birmingham, it's a great option. You know, as I say, if you got a 1:30 flight into Birmingham, you'd be 2:30. It could still be 3:30 or after by the time you get into Wolverhampton from Birmingham.
Yeah, just out of interest, Tony, was that a direct train? You pop across to the airport and then you're in the airport and you pop across to the train station. Was it a direct train or you have to change your crew or anything?
No, it was direct. I got the ticket on the Trainline app. I normally use Northern Rail, but I got the Trainline app, and they actually split. The ticket was only about £11, I think. But they split it. It was Manchester to Stoke and Stoke to Wolverhampton. But it just said, you know, you had two tickets.
Same
train. But you didn't have to leave the train. You know, same train. So, like, it was, It's only an hour and 10 minutes, I think. 25 past three, 25 to five, I was in Wolverhampton. Just went down.
Yeah, no, I've used it a few times. I think it's a handy run, you know, when you want to get back, you know.
Yeah. The overall thing with the Brentford, the replay was that we knew at that stage what was coming up if we won. So it gave an added kind of bite. I don't know whether it gave an added bite to the team, but it definitely gave an added incentive to the fans. You know, maybe that's why the few extra turned up that was expected and gave it. It was great to win it. And of course, the big scramble began then from as soon as that was sorted for tickets for, you know, there was people promising me all sorts of things, you know. But I won't go into it. But that was that. But it was a great bonus again. I was just thinking, I'm normally, as I say to Mick, I when we get the 40 points, I'm happy. We're staying up, and you know, in cup we very rarely get a good run. But I was actually thinking after the Brentford game, I actually looked up to see when I booked my holidays and to see when the cup final is. You know. That's way optimistic for me, but you never know. Fingers crossed. But just getting away from the cup, Gary, you were at the Brighton game last Monday. No problems getting over?
No, because it was in the context of Storm Isha. So, to be honest, it was all... I wasn't thinking so much about the game. It was thinking about, was I even going to get there? You know, it was so... You know, the storm was so strong the night before. But yeah, as it turned out... no issue driving out to the airport, and you wouldn't even know there'd been a storm at the airport or such like.
Yeah.
And the flight I was getting to Stansted had come from Stansted.
Yeah.
That, you know, so so it was plain sailing on this side, and I went to Stansted instead of Gatwick for just personal reasons, really, spend more time with I was meeting the cousins. But yeah, got the Stansted Express down to Liverpool Street and up the cross on the underground to London Bridge, and then got the train down to Brighton. So yeah, it took a bit longer than the Gatwick run. Wait, I'd say about at least an hour and a half shorter.
Yeah.
But the times weren't as convenient. So that was it. So yeah, considering the ferocity of Storm Isha, I had a good run.
Yeah, and I suppose we had it was in between two storms, really. There was a kind of you had a 24-hour or so break between the two. There was two storms, wasn't it? There was another one after that.
That's right, yeah.
But on the game, I don't know if you would you say it was a bit, as you described the Brentford game, were you a little bit kind of slow to get off the mark? We were under a lot of pressure, do you think, early on?
Yeah, well, first of all, anyone I spoke to, I'd spoken to some Brighton friends, and two out of three were, you know, expecting a home win. One of them was a draw. But what struck me was the fact that it turned out to be 0-0, because absolutely no one, we were assuming we'd concede and they were assuming they'd concede, you know. And it turned out to be 0-0. But a lot of people did say since that, oh, it must have been boring. But actually, I didn't find it. I thought it was quite an entertaining game. I thought it was like a good modern Premier League game. Like, you know, it was nip and tuck. This tippy-tappy, and whoever loses the ball and you break causes problems. And, it could have gone right to the very end. Like, it could have gone either way. We did have a good, strong period at the start of the second half.
Yeah.
But all in all, any Wolves fan would have been delighted with the draw beforehand.
Yeah.
To say, but no one expected to be scoreless, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, listen to commentary. You know, it's all like, and I think every 10 minutes the commentators mentioned, you know, Brighton always score at home. And I think they've conceded probably in nearly every game this season as well. So it's a bookie's dream, you know. A bookie's dream.
That's the way the home fans, any of the home fans I spoke to, that's the way they felt. They felt they would concede at least one.
Yeah.
It was quite entertaining. I thought a really good good show from Wolves. You know, they were tenacious and gave it a good go. Pity Cunha didn't get that one at the start of the second half. He had the double efforts.
Well, he got the rebound as well. Yeah, from the keeper. Yeah.
One thing about Brighton, and as you know, like it's the getting to the ground and getting out of the ground.
Yeah.
It's quite painful. You'd wonder. I was saying to myself, coming back, I was saying, fuck, I don't know, will I do this? Will I do this again, you know? Fucking hell.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a pain, I must say, that queuing up for the train and all that.
Yeah, for me, it's a bit like a trip to the dentist, you know what I mean? Kind of, I keep putting it off, you know? I haven't been there, and every year I say, yeah, I'll go this year, but Monday night, I don't think was going to be a popular time for me to go. But but they seem, I think that's 2 out of 3 years, I think we played them there on a Monday night or a midweek anyway. But Michael, your thoughts on the Brighton game?
Well, I thought overall there wasn't much between the two teams. I thought they probably shaded the better chances. Neto had probably the best
in the second half.
Keeper left in the space and Kuda. But I thought overall we had the better chances. It was a great play with Gary. I enjoyed it. But I thought it was a great battle between the two coaches.
Yeah.
They were switching and changing the tactics to try and get the better of the other. And that's what I thought was fascinating, watching them. But people say we're slow. I just think there were two fairly even teams who were fairly fit. So it was a tough game. They all had to work hard to get what they got. And I certainly wasn't complaining about having the point, although I thought we had the opportunity of getting the three. But that's football.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, as I say, particularly in the second half, we probably shed the second half with 3 or 4 chances we had on the break. And I think that kind of scared them a little bit into not being too adventurous then, because we were so fast on the break. But would you say, a point, we'd have taken that before the game probably, so we were happy enough for it afterwards. Johnny, here were you?
Hey, lads.
Hey, we're just talking about the Brighton game. What were your thoughts on the overall performance that night?
Similar to the lads, really. I was really impressed with particularly how we set up. We went right after them, pressing up on their fullbacks and centre-backs. And really, probably on the balance of play, we had the best chances. Probably Cunha missed two chances, took one around the keeper too far, and then the other one kind of on a rebound. Keeper done well to kind of close the angle. And then obviously Neto had a chance, but like you give a manager like De Zerbi 16 days to prepare for a game and you come out with a draw, I think you can only look at it positively, you know?
Yeah, we were happy enough with that. I suppose the highlight since the last time we've spoken was the match last Sunday. The one thing I was going to say is that just Ryanair had been playing out with our skins the last couple of months. I don't think we've had a delay by any means. And Sunday morning was the same. We were grand and early. We arrived. Mick picked me up at 10 past 4, was it?
Yeah.
Up at 3:30. So we got to Birmingham.
In the morning.
3:30 in the morning. Yeah. I didn't get home till 20 to 2. Jeez. But we of course with the trains situation on Sunday morning, we arrived in Birmingham, we got the bus 8:05 into Birmingham, had a bit of grubbing there, and in Witherspoons at the station. Lovely spot, actually, Mick.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, very impressive.
So there's myself and Mick, Johnny, Colm, Crowley, and Rasher, of course, was with us. How could we forget? Even though we didn't quite make it into that selfie picture I took outside the ground. Yeah, so what were your feelings kind of in the build up to the game on Sunday? Did we hopeful or confident that we'd get a win? Gary, I'll ask you that.
I always nervous when it's something like that. I mean, one, you want so much to beat Albion. Two, you want so much to go through to the next round, whoever it is, like, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, you want so much to have a bit of a run in the cup. So yeah, nervous. And deep down it felt that we were going to win, like, but you know, you don't like saying that.
Yeah.
I was surprised that I thought Albion weren't too bad in terms of, I admire the way they continued to try to play out. I admit I haven't been keeping an eye on Albion, so I had no clue what to expect of them.
Yeah.
Any team in the playoff spots in the Championship is always a bit of a challenge away from home. So, not taking nothing for granted, really. And I trepidation certainly was the main thoughts going into that match.
Yeah. What were your feelings, Johnny, beforehand?
It was kind of mixed feelings. In nearly every 5 minutes, a kind of different feeling was kind of popping into your head. Suppose, like, you kind of always thought that we had enough quality, but then you're kind of afraid of a derby, especially away from home, that that quality could be equaled just by the nature of the fans, you know.
Yeah.
Suppose the one big thing was that we were actually coming into the game in form. Usually a kind of FA Cup upset tends to happen when a team isn't in form, but we were 6 unbeaten. Obviously, I'd come off that Brighton game. Our best players, Neto and Cunha were playing well. So you always kind of thought that if we applied ourselves 70-80%, that the moments that needed real quality, we would deliver, and they kind of wouldn't. And that kind of is how the game transpired, you know?
Yeah. Mick, I suppose you were confident enough we were going to win, yeah? What were your thoughts beforehand?
I was, yeah. I think this we're far too much class for them. And we have the players, as I said a few times, that will get you the goal. You know, the quality, we have the quality there. My only worry about the game was the fact that I was looking more to the game on Thursday night. I didn't want fellas getting injured or maybe stupid refereeing decision, get someone sent off and miss Thursday night's game. Because my own opinion that Thursday night is a bigger game. That's for my feeling.
As
it turned out, the game, they played as well. We let them play a fair bit of ball. We were in control a lot of the game.
Yeah,
and I didn't think we ever looked like in trouble. They played a bit of ball, but we're allowed to play that ball because it was suiting us, you know.
Yeah,
and we did wait and we did pick them off.
Yeah,
simple as that, you know.
Yeah,
I do think they had a, you know, we did offer up a few chances to them though. You know, early on in particular, I know there was two headers they were weak enough, but they did get a few on. You know, they got a number on target. They weren't greatly troubling to say, but you know, you never know with those things.
I think that always kind of happens, particularly in a derby like the home. You kind of get the home crowd and the home team are kind of excited. And they generally get a few chances, but like as the game progressed, you could clearly I think it was around 15-20 minutes. We started winning second balls. Doyle and Lamina kind of got their foot on it, and really, like after those two chances, really until kind of Mowat had a half chance in the second period of the second time, of the second half, you could say, they didn't really have much chance at all, I didn't think.
Yeah, it's funny because what Mick was saying there, just about, you know, being wary of, particularly with a couple of players still away. Of injuries, you know, that it'd be typical in a derby match like that, that if we were ahead and the home fans are putting the pressure on, that they start flying in tackles and everything just to make it look like they're in the game or they're keeping in the game. But I think early on they did a couple of headers, I remember that much, did a few corners, I think, but Neto goal was a classic goal, I think, on the break for the away team. Like, it was their corner, they were trying to put pressure on. Doherty broke out with it, and fantastic goal. I looked at it again last night. I actually thought from our end that Neto had actually had a shot blocked, and then he had a second shot, but it was actually, he was coming across, the defender stuck the leg out, and he buried it from there. You know, it didn't look as convincing from where we were as it did on television, you know. But what did you think after, when we got the goal, did you think that was it? That we were going to go on and win easily, or... Did you think we'd be in trouble?
I thought, first of all, I'd play compliment to Doherty. Well, the goal as such, you know, only the two players touched it, picked it up on the edge of the box, took it down really well from the corner, you know, ran out the right amount, put the ball so beautifully for Neto. I mean, Doherty played a fantastic role in the goal.
Yeah.
But it always really looked threatening. And, once he went in, once he put it in, did well because that second tackle that he rode did knock him off stride. But I think that encouraged him to pull the ball back from the way he'd come, you know, which really made the keeper, who was expecting to go the other way, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
So, brilliant goal. And I didn't have much fear after that, to be honest.
Yeah. Mick, what were your thoughts when the goal went in?
I didn't think they would come back at us because they hadn't been really troubling us up to that stage.
Yeah.
Again, I go with Gary. You know, I sent a video last night from the Albion end. I don't know where you've seen it. from their corner, and the Albion supporter said, "Jesus, did they score from this?" They had the corner. If they score from this, the begins. And next thing, he's just standing there and he's looking up in the air as we broke. But it was a fantastic takedown with Doherty. And as Gary said, the weight of the pass,
but
it didn't have the, he was just able to stride onto it. And, it was a brilliant takeoff. From the minute Neto hit it, where I was, I mean, you must be able to, you knew it was going, we could see it going into that corner, you know, and it was brilliant, you know. But there, look, it was fantastic. And, you know, we're going to have a great goal shortly after.
We were a subdued celebration, Mick, I think, wasn't it? A subdued celebration, yeah. The goal, what a great goal. And, you know, what were you thinking around that time?
Kind of like nearly everyone in the stadium, you kind of thought he lost a chance. But just on Doherty's interception, like, Doherty's come in for a lot of criticism since he's come back. Some maybe warranted, some not so warranted. But I thought, like to take the ball down, going on that pace, and then have the composure to just spring that away, was just it was a brilliant piece of play. And then when Neto gets in that chance, you're kind of thinking, right, game on here. But to be fair to him, an Albion player, I don't know, I think it was Jed Wallace, got a foot in, kind of fell nicely for him, and then probably just surprised the keeper with the way he took the way he hit it so quickly after. Surprised nearly everyone in the ground, I would say. So, the first goal was always going to be crucial, you know, because then we could literally just sit in, hit them on the break, which inevitably happened.
Yeah, actually, from the goal, I remember when the corner was being taken, and it was funny because Neto was standing over towards where the corner was being taken, but he was about 10, 15 yards out from the goal. So, I mean, he was an ideal, I was wondering, looking at it, but he was an ideal situation for, I mean, the corner actually came out towards the edge of the box, I think. And when it was a penalty spot, when Doherty took it down, and Neto just took off, it was like a rehearsed move, you know, like you just kind of, you were gone, and there was no one going to stop them, even the two defenders that were back, there was no chance they were going to do anything to stop them, really. So I suppose, second half then, they kind of, as a home team, regardless of being derby or not, in the cup game, start the second half, they completely losing 1-0, they're going to come out and have a goal, as thought. I think they did a bit of pressure, but would you agree they didn't really threaten us in the first 10, 15 minutes, second half, Mick?
I don't remember Sam having to make a save. You know, I thought we were well in control, playing within ourselves and waiting for the opportunity to pick them off.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. And as I say, there's so much quality in that team. You know, they mightn't... one or two players can passes astray, but you know there's quality there that at some stage in the game, you know, they can strike, and that's what I love at the moment, because this crack, it'll be a centre forward or whatever, we have players who can deliver the breakdown, you know, and it could be whether it's been Semedo making the break, whether it be Oitnuri, whatever, but there's a lot of quality there, and that'll win you a lot of games, you know.
Yeah, Gary. Second half, start of the second half. Do you think we were still happy enough with it?
Yeah, I thought we. What I don't like about when we do that, and I always think back to, you know, 2-0 up against Watford in the FA Cup, is letting the balls come in, and it just takes one. You know, we weren't only one up. Like, there's only one in it. They're still in the game. Like, it, and just takes one little mistake and. Don't tell me that our guys are not capable of making a mistake. So, yeah, a little bit nervous, but yeah, always expecting something that eventually did happen. You know, I don't like dicing with death with letting balls coming into the box, but at the same time, as Mick said, Sarah didn't have to really do a whole lot. You know, so that's the measure of the performance. You know. Yeah.
Johnny, what are your thoughts in the first 15, 20 minutes, second half? Were you comfortable enough?
I suppose there was one chance. There was one chance, I don't know if you remember, when there was a header kind of cross goal, and we were kind of unsure whether it was a penalty. Now looking back, it was actually nearly free out because Asante kicked Kilman.
Yeah.
But there was just a moment of panic when the ball came across the six-yard box. other than that, yeah. No, it really was. I think the inevitability of, look, we're going to get a chance here. They just didn't have an idea how to break the three centre half down. They tried going through the middle, their fours and wingers coming narrow and short, didn't work. They tried crossing. Good luck with scoring a header against Dawson, Kilman and Totti.
Yeah.
You know, they had corners. I don't think we've conceded from a set piece all season.
Yeah.
Like, they just couldn't break us down. And you've seen their manager Corbyn on the line getting more animated as the game kind of went on. Their players were getting more desperate. You just knew that a chance was going to come for us, you know?
Yeah. I was just thinking that before we get on to the half an hour break before the end, after we scored a second goal. Like, I mean, I think the lead up to that was probably, or the sign that things were getting a bit heated was Doyle was taking the corner and he had a couple of bottles thrown at him. But when we got the second goal, we were celebrating, and then it was a bit like the longest VAR decision ever being made for a half an hour. But there are all sorts of rules. Like, we were there, Mick and Johnny, as you know, like we were relying on what we're hearing. But Gary, from watching on telly, what were you hearing from TV when the game stopped?
It's very little either. The ITV, it was on ITV, they kept reiterating that they didn't know anything and were, you know, apologising for not being able to tell us what was happening. But I think, as per everyone else, the first sign of the thing might go ahead was when they put the cones out for the players to warm up.
Yeah.
There was literally nothing, you know, and like ITV were panicking because they had Liverpool and Norwich due to come on, you know, and so it really was messing up their schedule. So, they had no more information than you had, you know.
Yeah, well, the first thing we heard was that, was that there were Wolves fans in down the corner and that they were celebrating the second goal, and they started, that started the trouble. Then we heard, I think next, Mick, was it a bottle had been thrown at Doherty and it hit one of the fans, and then the next one was the bottle turned miraculously into a flare. The flare was thrown at Doherty. It hit a ball boy. So there was all sorts of rumours from our point. But I mean, as all we had was a notice on the screen saying, please return to your seats and the game will restart. But there was no announcement, I think, until about 25 minutes. The cones were out and they announced over the system that, people go back to their seats, the game will restart. But we had down at the right-hand corner from where we were, which was the opposite diagonal from where the trouble was, the fans there got very heated then, Mick, didn't they?
Which one, down where we were taking the corners?
Down where Doyle took the corners.
It was similar in there most of the second half.
Yeah.
As you say, when it started with the Doyle incident. But like I thought straight away, when we had the problems up the far end, it happened in both corners, opposite corners. And I said, there's obviously a Wolves fan up there.
Yeah.
And then as it turned out, it was actually Wolves fans that was in the carpet. And they went out, and then they started singing or jumping up after we scored the second goal. And then what happened was there was another fella around behind their goal and he was after being found out, but they gave him a right hiding.
Yeah.
And the cops went in to take him out safety, and then he attacked the cops. And that's the whole fucking thing blew up in that corner.
Was that?
And then as that happened, we had our corner then blowing up, and there was that fucker with the flare. And then the cops were caught out everywhere because you had to get the riot police in. It was both ends of the field, and then you had the stewards, and then you had these fucking two wombles. Your man walks out, we put the fucking outside the players, and he waved at our players, and he walks up towards us and takes out the Albion flag.
Yeah.
Our lad, what do you call him? Jimmy Savile. And then the queer one, the L one, then brought the ball onto the pitch and trying to play around the fact. I just said, what the fuck were these fellas eating or drinking for their dinner or breakfast in the morning?
The funny thing with your man,
it's unreal.
The funny thing you mentioned with your man with the scarf, like I think he was actually in the video of the two fans at the far corner.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, how we got from there, with all the stewards around, how we got from there to get anywhere near the pitch. But it's funny because we were saying, on that side, that stand at the side of the pitch, there was nothing between the fans. Like, Doherty went over, he got a nudge in the back in the first half, I think, and he went off the grass and he slipped on the ground, the kind of track that was there, and went into the crowd. Like, it was just like a drop nearly to the front row. There was no little fence or barrier there. So, I mean, I suppose it's the easiest thing in the world. Like, there weren't even advertisements along that side either. So there was nothing to stop anyone just hopping up and hopping out. But when the game resumed, then I suppose the disruption probably gave us more to worry about than, well, although we were 2-0 up, probably than what West Brom are going to do. But they really kind of, I think what sparked their little surge in the last 10 minutes was there was a ball down the line, actually, and Dawson went down with the lad that came on the wing. And Dawson was trying to run the ball out over the sideline, and it didn't happen. The guy nipped in and they got a corner. And I think they had about 3 or 4 corners after that, which, as you said, we've no fear from set pieces. But it did kind of, it did make it an uncomfortable last 10 minutes, would you say, Johnny?
I kind of remember saying to you, if they score here, we're just, you know, there were just, you just maybe could see like it was kind of a bit unfair because it was almost like it was basically a new game, you know. Like, we didn't kind of have that period after 2-0 just after scoring where you kind of are in control of the game for, let's say, 5 minutes type thing. Yeah. It was a brand new game. You're just looking 81, 82, 83, and nearly after the three corners, after that period of pressure, you're kind of, right, we're home and hosed here. Just the main thing, really, and what we were saying was that no one would get injured because it would have been very easy for someone to pull a hamstring, pull a calf, you know.
Yeah.
Like, their players had nothing to lose at that stage. So really it was just a win-win. We didn't concede and no one got injured. The referee was blowing for everything because you could bet that he wanted the game over and done with as quick as possible. Any little 50-50, he was just blown straight away. So look, while the disruption was a disaster, it actually probably helped us in relation that the referee just wanted the game done as quick as possible.
Yeah, and you weren't going to have 7 or 8 minutes at the end, as I was saying. Anyway, yeah. Gary, from the point of view of watching at home, how did the last 10 minutes look?
Well, I thought that that we set up for that last 10 minutes a bit different to the start of the second half where we did concede the ball. We pressed high for that last 11 minutes, whatever
eight
it was. We pressed higher, and I thought it was like Johnny said, it was like starting a game, you know. And I thought it was the right thing to do. As I say, I hate that idea of just conceding possession and let balls come in. I thought got it right, but yeah, they still managed to, you know, they did play out. That was the key moment, that one you described earlier, Tony, when Dawson was just too slow for the guy.
Yeah.
And we had that period of pressure then to get over, but get over it we did. So
exactly.
Yeah. All in all, great day. Yeah. You know.
Mick, just final word with you, Mick, the last minute.
I would say that for the first time, well, we've had that referee twice. I rate him very highly.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, we could have got one or two extra frequent. Nobody gets everything right.
Yeah.
But I thought he's been very, very good, and he's one of the best referees we've had. I know we had him twice this year.
Yeah.
And I was
completely agree with you on that, Mick. Completely agree with you on that.
Oh, yeah, that's great. As you say, great win. I think on the way back to Wolverhampton in the taxi, when we were listening to the draw, and the word, you know, that came out, you know, well, at home anyway, which was good, you know, then Brighton, you know. Everybody just kind of looked at each other. Brighton, you know, how are we supposed to feel about that? What you were expecting, a big team or a minnow, you know, and you got to fuck up. We only played them last week, you know, and we had Brentford and Brighton.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, anyway. I must say, when I heard the draw, it was FFS, you know.
But anyway, as I need to wrap up, I suppose we won't do any predictions for the matches coming up at the weekend. We just let them go, whatever way they do.
Thursday.
Yeah, well, towards the end Sunday. Yeah, sure, I'll see you, Gary, Mick, Johnny, thanks a million. Gary and Mick, I'll see you on Thursday at some stage.
Yeah, we're on the half-one flights out of Dublin.
All right.
All right, good.
See you then.
All right, bye.
Take care.
All the best.
Bye-bye. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on irishwolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.